We're broadcasting from the Middle Tennessee Electric Studios.
Visit mte.com.
Middle Tennessee Electric.
Serving to make life better.
Since 1936.
Since 1936.
This is WGNS Action Line. Action Line. Talking with Rutherford County newsmakers.
Since 1947.
This is WGNS Action Line. Now your host, Scott Walker.
This morning we'll be talking with the folks at Adams Place, and we have with us today the Executive Director, Terry Deal, and then also the Director of Nursing, Sarah Coleman. How are both of y'all doing this morning?
Doing great, Scott. Hope you are.
I am. A little chilly.
This morning.
Colder than expected out there.
Oh, but it feels so good. It's a beautiful fall day.
It does feel good. I wish it was this temperature like year round.
Oh, I do too. I could adjust to that.
So what all is happening at Adams Place this time of year? Is everything decorated for Halloween? And
everything is decorated. The decorations change rapidly this time of season. So yeah, we started out fall, then went to Halloween and jump right in from that to going into Thanksgiving and Christmas. So we've got decorations from one end of campus to the other.
I've already seen some houses decorated for Christmas.
Are you serious?
I have, yeah.
Oh my goodness.
Perhaps it's a little too early for that. But
that's a little early. When you walk into Home Depot and you see Halloween on one side and Santa Claus on the other side of the aisle, that's a little concerning to me.
That's right. Now, do y'all have like trick-or-treaters that come out there each year, or how do people handle that? Because you got a lot of grandparents, great-grandparents, and a lot of kids who love seeing them.
We do have. So several years ago, we started doing trick-or-treating, and it's kind of expanded year after year as each thing does. And so starting last year and going into again this year, we will do trick-or-treating from one end of campus to the other. So we've got our residents from long-term care, memory care, assisted living, and independent living that are all going to have Halloween buckets filled with candy, and we're inviting the grandchildren and great-grandchildren of not only our residents but also our partners to come and trick-or-treat in a safe space. So that'll be on the Tuesday before Halloween.
Do the folks out there love like showing off the grandkids?
Of course.
I can imagine.
If I had grandkids, I'm sure I would too. I know Sarah's got some grandkids. I think bragging rights kind of come with that.
Yes, for sure.
Yeah, grandkids are better than real kids. That's what I've been told. So anyway, for those who are listening and are curious about somewhere like Adams Place and living there, mm-hmm. What is that like?
It varies place to place. You know, I talk all of the time about independent living being my landlocked cruise ship. We just have a lot of fun there, and then we age in place on the campus. So I'm going to let Sarah talk a little bit about the healthcare center, because it is a lot different from independent living. We spend a lot of time talking about the independent living and assisted living side of things, but I would really like for our listeners to get a good understanding of what life is like, even in long-term care and our inpatient rehab.
Yeah, so and I guess a lot of people, they'll live in one section and then make the move to another area. Yes. And so how does that work, and what's that like?
So just kind of branching off of what Terry said, the transition over to the healthcare side would initially start maybe from a hospital setting. The hospital case managers can help transition you over into Adams Place with an admission process. We do like to keep it a campus style living. So if you are already on our campus, we do transition you over to healthcare pretty quickly once that therapy need is there. It's a pretty good facility for those therapy, with lots of bragging rights for our therapy team at Adams Place. We do a pretty good therapy screening initially, and that's based on the functioning and strengthening that patient may need based on their diagnoses and their admission process.
So those who are in that area of Adams Place, are they there long term, or are some of them there only short term and then they make another transition somewhere else at Adams Place?
Yeah, so our healthcare unit is 40 beds. They're all private rooms. That transition is based on the therapy screening and their progress noted. Now, if they want to transition over to the long-term care setting, we do have a long-term care upstairs. That's a 50-bed facility upstairs. You can discuss that with the social workers as our team there at Adams Place, and they also will speak to you initially as well on admission.
And what are some of the more common things that people do come there with, like some of the ailments, some of the health problems that they face?
So right now we're seeing a lot of respiratory concerns, broken bones, slips and falls outside in the community. So right now, just a main focus on whatever comes in that we can help diagnose, treat, rehabilitate, and get them back to their setting that they desire.
I guess broken bones are always a big thing, I guess, really for a lot of age groups.
Yeah, for sure.
And how long is there like an average stay that you see folks there?
We do pretty good on the strengthening and rehabilitating part of, again, just depending on their admitting diagnosis. Patients frequently come in, they follow the therapy plan, they get out pretty quick. 4 to 6 weeks is a usual standard. But if they need a little bit longer, we definitely as a team will work with the family and the patient on that.
Hey, you know, there's a feeling of safety, I'm sure, for those who come there because You're there to get better. I mean, you're there for rehabilitation, but it's not one of those situations where you get rehabilitation, then go home, then have to drive back. I mean, it makes it a lot easier.
That's right. That's right. So following that therapy plan initially is very important. Again, our therapy department is amazing. And asking those questions as family members and patients, what we can do after they discharge to maintain that stability.
And then, Terry, there's an overall feeling, I guess, of safety when you're on the campus there. And that, I mean, that's good for a lot of reasons, but I know a lot of people choose Adams Place because of that.
They do. You know, having a campus concept like Adams Place provides where you can get every amount of care that you need from independent living to end of life. It really does bring a lot of comfort both to the resident and to the family members as well, especially, you know, I've got residents in independent living. Say there is a fall and following hospitalization, then knowing that we're going to get them back on our campus to do rehab with our team in the culture that they're already familiar with. And, you know, independent living staff has a very good working relationship with Sarah and her team. So we're able to work hand in hand to get those residents back to, hopefully, back to their former abilities so that they can return to their independent setting or even into their assisted living setting.
So if you are in independent living and you have a hip replacement, as mm-hmm. an example, you would then go to that other side and get that rehabilitation and then hopefully go back to the independent living.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, and it depends on, you know, some of the physicians send folks straight back home to their home environment after certain joint replacements. But if the need is there to go into rehab, then yes, they can be there typically anywhere from 20 to 100 days and, you know, get them back on their feet and get them back home.
That's got to make it a lot easier, especially if, you know, their spouse is living there as well. Mm-hmm. They can just walk, you know, down the hallways and be there to help them out.
Yeah, not only spouses, but friends. I am amazed at the friend groups that when one of their buddies is in rehab, they're all piling in a car and driving to the other side of campus and going to visit.
You know, that's probably the biggest positive for a lot of people because they may not have or may not be very social when they first move in there, and then mm-hmm. next thing you know, they've got tons of friends, and that really helps out people.
It does. And, you know, in independent living and assisted living in particular, you're able to really have a lot of friend groups. But I think even in the healthcare center side of things, you know, yeah, you're there for short-term rehab, but do you see friendships developing, Sarah?
Absolutely. They develop with each other in there as well as our volunteers that come in, build relationships with people that they may have seen out in the community but just had never had that opportunity to stop and talk to them. So, yeah, we open that door for sure.
And we've got a gnat in here that keeps flying around. you don't have that at Adams Place, but we have it here at the radio station.
Well, we have very large mosquitoes that are attacking us right now. So, you know, what do you do?
I was outside last night. I bet you I got like, I don't know, 5 mosquito bites. Oh, yeah. But yeah, they're out right now. And I was kind of surprised because it's kind of cool out there for mosquitoes, I thought.
I thought so, too. We had a fairly good summer, and then all of a sudden they have come out with a vengeance.
Yeah, we got like winter mosquitoes coming our way or something. Hopefully that's not the case.
I hope.
But now, when you look at all the different aspects of Adams Place, it really does stand out. There's not really another place like it.
Well, no, there's really not. You know, Adams Place, we've been there since 1997. We were the first continuing care retirement community in Rutherford County, and even today, the first of only two in the county. And it really does bring a lot of security to both the resident and their family to know that they're there to be taken care of for the rest of their lives.
And that whole aspect of you've got, you know, nursing professionals there to help people out, that makes a big difference. I mean, it really does.
It makes a big difference. I mean, Sarah, you've got CNAs, you've got nursing assistants, LPNs, RNs. How does that work?
We do. So we have all the above that Terry had mentioned. Making it the best nursing profession environment that we can every day is our goal. Communication, extra eyes and ears from the community is always welcomed and beneficial to our team. We do offer a nursing assistant class once a month. It's a three-week program. It is state regulated, so all of the curriculum comes from the state regulations. We offer the clinical site for their education, and that hands-on is beneficial to those CNA students as well. Mm-hmm. So bringing those new partners on board, and some as young as 16, is beneficial to the medical profession so that we can help branch them over into a nursing career. So,
and when you look at those who are there for rehabilitation, and then you see their loved ones come in and you know, check on them and all that stuff. How often do those loved ones come in there and you can just tell that they are just fatigued with caring for that loved one and they're thankful to be able to, you know, turn it over to you, yeah, so to speak?
And we do see that a whole lot. And our nursing team always preaches to that. That's what we're here for, to help take that load off of that family that has tried to secure and protect their loved one. No matter what family dynamic they come from, our nursing professionals are there to help take that load off so they can go home as family members and take a breather, take a night of rest to know that their family's safe with 24/7 care.
And I guess sometimes this is that maybe that spouse's first time to be able to say, you know, I think you're going to be taken care of here.
That's right.
Going to go home and take a nap.
Yeah. And, you know, that they come from a home-like environment at times where their independence is all that they have left. So our goal is to help them keep as much independence as possible. And in the limelight of that, we have to help strengthen and get them home in a more safe environment than they were able to be admitted to us with.
And so while they're there for rehabilitation, if they have a follow-up doctor's appointment, how do you go about handling those?
So we do a private transport list. So there's multiple transport companies here in Murfreesboro that we can provide those services to the family members and the patients for. So we'll try to accommodate any doctor's appointments that they may have. Now, being in a rehab facility, one of our struggles is they want to follow up with their primary care provider, and that's an insurance regulation. We just maintain providers that are in-house. We have a full-time provider that will monitor their care while they're with us.
And then the nurses that you have there working, how do you go about finding that right personality to be a part of Adams Place?
Yes, so that is a struggle anywhere with the medical profession now. You know, you just keep interviewing those perspectives. You put out your interview ads. You've got to bring the right partner onto your team that meets the expectations that you're laying out on the table. Sometimes you get the most amazing partners by just giving them an opportunity. So it's whatever they can bring to the table and be a part of the team with.
Hey, because I know there's some people who just, they naturally work better with maybe, let's say, kids, or
that's
there's
right,
somebody who works great with older adults. I mean, you do have different personalities out there.
For
so
sure.
That does have to be tough to do that hiring process, because, man, I mean, really, any business out there, they have a struggle these days hiring people, because there's a lot of people looking for jobs, or there's a lot of people who are already employed, so it's tough.
Right. Yeah, and you really have to lay it out for them from the time they walk in the door. You know, you can't paint a beautiful picture for them, because any medical job is hard right now. So finding that right personality for long-term care and the population that you serve as a rehab facility definitely is a priority when you're doing the interview.
Do a lot of your nurses, do they have a, you know, a number of years in their background, or are a lot of them, you know, younger, newer nurses, or what do you have there?
I've been getting a lot of interview requests from our newer nurses that are coming out of nursing school, MTSU, Motlow, whether it be vocational LPN or university nurses. Again, the same expectations are laid down with whatever title you're bringing to the table. Patient care is top priority, and that's what we focus on.
And for those who are listening, I know you've got all these different skill level of nursing type positions. So how do each of those different levels really work? I mean, when you hear LPN or RN.
Yeah. So LPN and RN are our charge nurses. They're our supervisors on the floor. They oversee the CNAs that are on the floor. And I expect them to embrace them and teach them from the beginning to the end as they were taught at one time starting out themselves. So I do preach that a lot during the day stand-ups.
And then do you also have those who are doing things like literally just, you know, pushing the wheelchair down the hallway and then transporting somebody to the other side of the area?
Yeah, our CNAs are amazing to do that. If a patient would like to go outside or enjoy the beautiful sunshine on the days that we have it, you know, our CNAs will take them outside. If they want to go from our healthcare side to the assisted living side to visit their friends or to the independent living side, we absolutely will accommodate that.
And then how do patients go about setting up, you know, ahead of time, I'm going to have surgery on such and such date, and the doctor says, well, you're going to need rehab after that surgery. Here's where you can go. And do they get a list of places to pick, or do they say to the doctor, I want to go to Adam's place for rehabilitation?
Yeah, so the case managers in the hospital, if you end up in the hospital setting unexpectedly, you can go ahead and request, I want to go to Adam's place. Those case managers will reach out to our admissions team at Adam's place. Outside of that, if you know that there's a upcoming surgery date, feel free to call the facility, speak to our admissions coordinator, and let them know what is coming up so that we can walk them through that process.
And then I guess as far as insurance goes, just all the same type basic things that happen in a hospital, you guys work with different insurance companies on that?
We do just present the insurances, secondary, commercial, private, whatever you've got, and we can walk you through that process.
So is there typically a waiting list if somebody is needing whatever procedure done that's going to need rehabilitation, but is there a waiting list to get into that section of Adam's place?
We do have a waiting list in place, but depending on the date of the surgery and if anybody has postponed their previous dates already, acclimated into the schedule, anything like that, we'll do what we can to get the parties that are interested in as soon as possible. Kind of tailing off of what Terry said, it is a campus style living, so we do try to focus on our independent and assisted living residents to get them into our healthcare center so they remain on the campus. But we will do what we can. So every situation's different. We'll educate and walk them through that.
And then, Terry, how often do you talk to people who are there getting rehabilitation who tell you, you know, I think my next move, I wouldn't mind moving here to Adam's place?
That's actually a very frequent occurrence. So I get referrals both from the social work team saying, you know, a patient in whatever room is interested in independent living, or like yesterday, I had a family member to call and say, hey, mom is in rehab. While she's there, we want to go ahead and start looking into this process. So that does happen pretty regularly.
Is that a tough process? Is that hard to make that transition, or what do people usually do?
So the challenge is, you know, to be able to transition from rehab into independent living does not typically happen just because I have an extensive wait list. So they are normally looking at going back home and waiting for a period of time before they transition into independent living. That's one of the reasons why I talk to people so frequently saying you've got to look into this before you actually need it and go ahead and get on the wait list. If we've got somebody in rehab, usually if it's a crisis, what I call a crisis move, needing mom's got to move somewhere right away, we're probably not talking independent living at that point. We're probably talking more assisted living. So then I would call Steve Chapek, our director of assisted living, in on that conversation.
And then you also have these different levels of care, like memory care, mm-hmm. for example. I mean, if somebody has Alzheimer's, but maybe the spouse doesn't, but mm-hmm. yet they both are ready to make a move to where they're no longer at their house anymore.
Right.
You've got options.
We do have options. And depending on the severity of the cognitive impairment, sometimes husband and wife can live successfully in independent living for a period of time. And that could be anywhere from 6 months to 3 or 4 or 5 years. In other situations, if someone comes to me and the spouse is already suffering from pretty advanced cognitive impairment, then we start talking about having one in independent living and the other either in assisted living or memory care. But again, because of everything being right there on the same 22-acre campus, it's just a short walk away to go visit your loved one.
And Sarah, maybe talk a little bit about how hard is it on that other spouse, that other, you know, the husband, the wife who's taking care of their loved one, how hard is it on them serving that position of being a caretaker when before maybe that was never the case?
Yeah, so it is, and we notice it as nursing professionals, you know, the spouse or the caregiver, you know, gives 100% of themselves to take care of that loved one, and sometimes they can get a little run down themselves out of ordinary for their own independence. So we try to focus on that once they get to our rehab facility, or in general in assisted living, you know, to try as healthcare professionals to offset that for them and to educate them from the beginning that that's what we're here for. It's hard to let go of your independence, and we understand that, and we promote independence to a level of safety, but we also need to allow that spouse or caregiver time to refresh themselves so that they can be the better support for that patient toward and with their rehabilitation.
Have you seen cases where that spouse who's acting as the caretaker actually becomes more run down and maybe even more fragile? They become sick more so than the person who actually is needing the care.
Absolutely. A lack of sleep, a lack of nutrition for themselves. They're just readily available 24/7 to take care of their loved one. And again, it runs them down faster than it would have if they would just let the caregivers in our facility take that load off of them.
Is it typically that lack of sleep and the lack of proper nutrition that brings them down the most?
I would say yes.
And of course, Terry, I've heard a million times over, the food there is great. So that's something you're not going to lack.
Yeah, no, that definitely takes care of things. But one of the things that I even tell my residents when I've got a husband and wife living together and one of them does need a higher level of care, it's like one of the best things that you can do is let our professionals, our nursing professionals, our caregivers, let them step in and take some of the responsibility off of you. Because what families have to remember is if one spouse is taking care of the other, that is a 24-hour-a-day commitment. If you're allowing us to step in and provide assistance, that is new, fresh faces every 8 to 12 hours. So instead of the same person giving and giving and giving and not refilling their own cup, we've got fresh staff coming in every 8 to 12 hours to provide the care that needs to be provided, which allows the healthier spouse to step back into the role of family instead of the role of caregiver. So it is really important, and that's one of the huge advantages of spouses coming to our campus.
When people first arrive on campus, when they first move there, is it sometimes hard for them to open up and allow for somebody else to care for them? Because maybe they tell you, you know, well, my husband's always done this for, my wife's always done this for me. I don't want somebody I don't know doing this.
It is hard, you know. Like Sarah said, we want to maintain our independence, and we want to continue relying on the people that we've always relied on before. But if that person is no longer able to meet those needs, then we have to step out and allow somebody else to come in. You know, I remember years ago, my mom, in her later years of life, I went to make her bed one day, and she said, "That's not the way I make it." I said, "I understand that, but you can't make it anymore, so this is the way I do it." And I wasn't meaning to be disrespectful. It's just I cannot do it exactly like you do, but you're going to have to let me help.
Yeah, and that's probably, I could see where that'd be tough for some people, yeah. Especially at those first stages where you're first letting somebody new or different come in and help you.
Well, you know, especially if you're looking at somebody that goes maybe from home straight into long-term care. Say there's been a significant crisis in their life and they go straight into long-term care. And really with any level of care on our campus, it's different than being at home. So not only are you having to allow someone else to step in and do stuff, now you're having to do it in a completely different environment, a completely different routine. So you've got a whole lot of change all at one time. So when someone first arrives on our campus, and it really doesn't matter which level of care it is, independent, assisted, memory care, long-term care, we really, as a staff, we have to extend a tremendous amount of grace, understanding this is a huge transition for them. Even it, whether it was something that they chose to do or something that they were forced into, it's a huge transition, and we need to be there to walk with them in a place of grace, helping them to adjust.
And these are tough challenges that everybody, I guess, goes through at some point if they require a surgery. These are things that happen in life that are tough obstacles.
Yeah, they are.
Again, we're talking about Adams Place this morning. We're going to take a short break, and then we'll come right back. And with us today, we have the Executive Director, Terry Deal, and then also Director of Nursing, Sarah Coleman. And again, we'll talk more about Adams Place in just a minute.
Broadcasting from the Middle Tennessee Electric Studios, take control of your account management and energy consumption with the MyMTE app. Download from the App Store and manage your account, improve your energy habits, and more. MTE, serving to make life better since 1936.
That brisket came from your cow, right?
Yep, raised her, named her, thanked her, and now she's dinner.
Rutherford County Farmers Market. There's something fresh every week. Tuesdays and Fridays, 7 to 1. At Lane Agri Park in Murfreesboro on John R. Rice Boulevard.
The Recycled Minute with our own Rocky the Raccoon.
Don't bottle up your creativity. Reuse it.
Teachers, students, and eco-heroes. Stay-at-home moms. Everybody, listen up.
You can create mini greenhouses for seedlings with water bottles.
The Recycled Minute. Here's Rocky.
You know how families go through those water bottles? They buy them by the caseload each month. Once you're finished drinking the water out of them, obviously recycle some of them, but save some of them, because you can slice off the bottom of them and then place it over a small plant. It'll then trap the warmth and moisture, help your garden grow while keeping plastic out of the landfill. That's just another idea for you. I'm Rocky the Raccoon with RecycleRatTN.com.
And that's today's Recycled Minute.
And I'm out of here.
With Rocky the Raccoon. Find the closest place to recycle near you by going to RecycleRatTN.com.
Together, we'll keep Tennessee beautiful.
This is Peter Demas, and our family's inviting your family to come eat with us at Demas's Restaurant. When Kristen said, okay, you know, when we're going to do the remodel, because we're celebrating 35 years, we also wanted to make it more open and inviting, so we made the lobby a lot more open. Booth seats a little bit different colors to kind of still keep it a little up to date, make it fresh. We wanted to make it cozier, make it a little bit brighter for people to see, to pay homage to where we have been the entire time. Demas's Restaurant on Northwest Broad Street.
Hi, Murfreesboro. This is Amanda from Animal City. We're at 919 Northwest Broad Street. We have not forgotten about our reptile lovers either. Here at Animal City, we have a great selection of products for our cold-blooded friends, too. Here at Animal City, we have a full range of habitats, substrates, and other accessories. We have a great selection of products for our reptile lovers. We are so proud to be Murfreesboro's pet destination for 35 years. Animal City, 919 Northwest Broad Street. Family owned and operated.
The Action Line on FM 101.9 and AM 1450 Murfreesboro, FM 100.5 Smyrna. Listen and watch at WGNSradio.com.
And again this morning, talking about Adams Place, and with us today, we've got the Executive Director, Terry Deal, and then also with us, Director of Nursing, Sarah Coleman. And we were talking about rehabilitation and the care that folks receive in there. And so, I guess, tell us a little bit more about how that journey starts for those who are there.
So the journey would start with the admission process, of course, whether coming from a hospital setting or from a home-like setting. Once that admission is completed, again, we'll start with a therapy evaluation to try to get specific goals for that patient on how we can get them back to their home-based setting as easily transitioned as possible. I do want to mention, you know, we allow families to come in. Those extra eyes and ears are super beneficial. The communication helps us build a plan of care for that patient based on patient-specific goals, too. What was their duties at home? What did they do with their eating preferences at home, dietary needs, stuff like that. We do have amazing food at Adam's Place. We promote families to come and eat with the loved ones in our Magnolia dining room and also in our dining rooms across the campus. It is beneficial based on that nutrition comment that I made earlier. We do have an in-house provider Monday through Friday in-house, readily on hand for any questions or concerns through the nursing staff. And then we do allow for a sound physician teledoc system after the hours of 5. So there's always a physician ready to answer those questions from the families and caregivers.
So while they're getting care, they can have a doctor's appointment if you would after hours if needed.
Yes, and it is problem focused. So if they start having a headache or pain that we can't relieve with their current orders, we can always reach out to that doctor to assess the patient so that if we need to do any other testing after hours, we can allow that as well.
Now, in those types of situations, can things like medications be changed if the doctor says, well, let's try this instead?
Absolutely. So that's our main goal, to make sure that we do those patient-specific goals right then. We don't want to delay any care. So if they need x-rays, a change in pain medication per se, anything like that is readily available.
And then the list of goals that they have going in, are some of those goals things that they want to accomplish, you know, there while getting better, along with whatever the doctor says, this is what you need to do?
Absolutely. Every discipline in our facility, social work, dietary, therapy, nursing, everyone works together with those goals. Every department will meet with that patient when they come in on admission, and we will take all of that into consideration, again, patient specifically.
How often do people realize, you know, while they're there, you know, maybe they say, I wasn't getting the right amount of nutrition, the right amount of food when I was at home. I wasn't getting the right amount of sleep, but now I'm starting to see that.
Yeah. So that, again, is our end goal, that extra education out there to provide. A lot of them don't know the right people to ask when they're out in the community. So having those medical professionals right there in front of you, ask those questions. Our end goal is for you to be in-house and have all of your needs taken care of. We try to eliminate or prevent you going back out to the emergency room visits. We all know that's no fun at all. We don't want to delay any care once you get to our facility. So just communication is key in every aspect of healthcare, I believe.
How often do you see people, or do maybe spouses or family members tell you when that person leaves that, you know, they're doing better than they were before they actually had the problem that sent him here?
Yeah, so those are our success stories, and that's really the heart and soul of why our medical professionals do what they do. Those compliments are so beneficial to the team, whether it just be a simple thank you. And, you know, we always welcome what we call gifts, stuff that we can improve on. We never take that offensive. Again, it's patient specific to that patient, how they were living at home may be different than how we're regulating in the facility. So we'll bend and stretch as much as we can.
I can imagine some folks have some pretty wild ideas sometimes. Yeah. Because I guess we all get so used to living a certain way or being cared for by a certain person that whenever we see the slightest change, it confuses us a little bit.
Yeah, and it really is a mental challenge to lose that independence. I mean, a lot of our patients have taken care of their own families their whole life, and now they're having to be taken care of. It really does take a big chunk of their heart and soul out of themselves. So providing those services to help rehabilitate them and, again, get them back where we can, whether it be in a long-term care setting or back at home, is our end goal.
So when you're there on the outside looking in of this family and how they, you know, talk to each other, how they operate and live day to day, how often do you see one or the other realize, you know, hey, I need to be a little more open to fill in the blank, whatever it is?
Yeah, so our end goal, again, is definitely that education out there. And we all know as a community, lots of family dynamics out there, and those can be challenging. But again, that's what we're there for when they come in, and we see all different types of family dynamics.
And then, Terry, on your end, how difficult is it when you talk to new people, when you talk to them about, you know, this is going to be a new way of living for you, but hey, I promise it's going to be better. Mm-hmm. But how difficult is it to get them just to understand, you know, this will be an improvement, even though you may not think it right this second, it will be a major improvement in your life.
Well, the advantage of the potential resident themselves making the decision to come to independent living is they already see that there are advantages. So, it's the ones where the kids are dragging mom or dad in saying you need this, that they might be a little bit resistant. But one of the things that I like to do is have them come in, even before getting on the wait list, come in and spend some time with the residents, have a meal with them, sit around the table and talk with them about what residency is really like. And that sets their mind at ease as to, yes, this is going to be different, but it is going to be a difference that is good for me. So that really does help set people at ease.
You know, there's so many things that if you're a homeowner, you have to do on a regular basis. Mm-hmm. I mean, from maybe you're not cutting the yard anymore, but you're having to find somebody to cut the yard and pay right. them once a week. But there's all these different chores that you have to do that I guess you really don't have to do when you live somewhere like Adam's place.
Right. Yeah. Taking care of the yard, taking care of the refrigerator when it breaks or the roof when it leaks or the carpet when it's dirty or anything like that. So, yeah, you look at all of the responsibilities you have in your home and you're just basically handing that over to someone else to be responsible for that you don't have to coordinate the schedules or pay the bills.
And while those may not sound like big deals to deal with when they happen, you know, all in the same week, all in the mm-hmm. same day, they suddenly become tasks that overwhelm you pretty quickly.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, they can overwhelm us.
Yeah, they can very fast. But these are things that, you know, you can say goodbye to because you won't have to worry about that kind right. of stuff anymore.
Yeah, you know, we've got residents that really enjoy gardening. Okay, great. We're going to let you garden, but you don't have to take care of the yard. You know, if you want to keep your hands in the dirt, we're going to make an opportunity for you to keep your hands in the dirt, but you don't have to go pull the weeds and mow the lawn and rake the leaves and do all those kinds of things.
See, now that's a good system right there.
Yeah, of course.
I mean, imagine not having to mow the yard or pull the weeds. I mean, that's perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's selling me an apartment right now. It's amazing. I need to be on the wait list. I'm just saying.
Well, you better get on now.
Okay. That's right. Yeah, that's right.
I'm ready.
20 years.
Ready to move in right now.
Yep.
But it does sound so much more relaxing to be able to live that way, to not have to worry about all those little tasks that you have to do each day.
It is. And that really applies to any level of care on our campus, you know, because of the amount of care that we're providing and the services that we provide, it really does allow our residents from one end of campus to the other to just live their lives and do what they want to do, whether that's going and playing bingo every opportunity they get or traveling or sitting on the front porch and read a book in the rocking chair. It really is all about letting that resident live the life that they want to live.
And the great thing about that is you can travel and not worry about your house getting broken into while
exactly.
you're gone. So it makes life better in a lot of ways.
Life is much better when you let us take care of the day-to-day responsibilities.
I know we're already out of time, but if anybody has questions, what's the best thing to do?
Give us a call, 615-904-9111. Check out any of our social media platforms, Facebook, Instagram, I'm not even sure where else we are, or even going to our website, adamsplace.org, or just walk in the front door and say you have some questions.
Sounds good. Well, thank you both for joining us.
Thank you, Scott.
Thank you.
Right now, that time, 9 o'clock. Stay with us. We do have local news coming your way next. And again, on the air with us this morning, and we'll post this online shortly. We had with us today from Adams Place, Terry Deal, and also Sarah Coleman.